Ruth, let me get, I'm sorry, I have to get my bios out here. Ruth is a research associate at the University of New England Center for Community and Public Health, and she's been the evaluator with the main cardiovascular health program and the diabetes prevention and control program. And she has over 20 years of public health experience and has worked in a variety of state chronic disease prevention and control programs. So with that, I'll turn the podium over.
Thank you very much, and I'm sure everyone can hear me back there, right? And all I have to do to, I forgot to ask, to forward it, just press the key. Good? Okay, easy enough. Well, again, good afternoon, and I just wanted to start by acknowledging the people who helped with this presentation. And it is a CDC-funded project, and so I wanted to thank the Division of Heart Disease and Stroke Prevention. Also, RTI started the evaluation, which I'll explain a little bit more, so I wanted to thank them for that. And, of course, the main cardiovascular health program, and most importantly, the state and regional EMS. And I have no relationships to disclose. So this project actually started in 2005, but in 2006, the Heart Disease and Stroke Prevention Program asked for people to submit applications to have some additional evaluation work and to see if they were a promising practice. And Maine applied and they were accepted. And so we got some wonderful TA from RTI on this project. So as I said, the HeartSafe Communities Program in Maine, it began in 2005. And I just wanted to mention that it was expanded from the Massachusetts HeartSafe Community Program, which focused just on sudden cardiac arrest, and Maine expanded that, so we also focus on heart attack and stroke. And I just wanted to mention, of course, this is about rural health, and Maine is a very rural state with much of the population living in rural areas. Now, because I only have 15 minutes, I wanted to really narrow things down. And just to explain what HeartSafe Communities is, it's a recognition program. There's no funding involved. The thing is that the EMS services get recognized by the community, and also within the state, there's a national recognition, not national, a state recognition day. And there's many, many components to what we call basic recognition. But I'm only going to focus on the one that is colored. So that's the education components. And ultimately, the goal is to increase capacity, and so that we're hoping over time there will be more silver and gold EMS services that are recognized. But again, so I'm just going to focus on the implementation regarding the education activities. And I'm really going to focus in on those that were recognized in 2006 and 2007. I just wanted to mention that more were recognized than what you see here for the 7 and the 13 for a total of 20, but there is a reapplication requirement. Every 2 years they have to reapply to keep their recognition. So we have lost some numbers, but we still have 20. I want to say about, we originally might have had 23. But then I just wanted to give you the most recent data that I have available for August so that you can see how it's grown over time. And we now have 59 HeartSafe communities, and that represents about 64% of the population of Maine. And I just wanted to mention, because this is, will be important as we go a little further, is that those who were most likely to want to be recognized and be part of this program were the more rural areas. So I'm going to focus, as I said, on one piece of the evaluation, but I just wanted to let you know that RTI did do a very thorough evaluation, and they did find it to be a promising practice, and so we were pretty safe in assuming that many community education activities have occurred, so that we would have reason to believe that knowledge or symptom recognition would increase. And I guess I just wanted to mention here, for those of you who aren't aware of Maine, does not have any local health departments. And so instead we have something that we call Healthy Maine Partnerships, which are funded by our tobacco settlement dollars, and it does now cover the entire state of Maine. But they're community coalitions, and they do get some funding from the state, but they act very much like other community coalitions would do, and they have been engaged in this Heart Safe Community initiative. Now, because we are dealing with a statewide effort, we wanted to start the systems, make it a more systems approach, so we worked with regional and local and state EMS offices. We couldn't, you know, just exclude it to focus just on Heart Safe Community. So I wanted to give you some background and sort of the context for what was going on in the rest of the state. There was a fair amount of educational efforts going on around heart attack, and we tried to document that. And so these groups, the In a Heartbeat Initiative, they also did some evaluation around that activity, and you know, pre and post did see some increases in symptom recognition. More importantly, stroke. There was a lot more activity going on in Maine around stroke symptom recognition, and especially in May, we had some first a regional and then a statewide media campaign that was going on. So basically, RTI, I'm just focusing in on two small indicators of the sort of in the logic model. And RTI did address the short-term outcome and did see that there was an increase in the number of educational programs. But we wanted to look at also, is education or knowledge or symptom awareness changing in these heart-safe communities? So that's what I'm primarily going to be focusing on for the rest of the presentation. So we did do some intervention-specific evaluation, but we wanted to see if a secondary data source, such as BRFSS, would be useful in helping us to evaluate this. So what we did is we pulled out all the respondents from 2005 and 2009, the two times when the signs and symptoms modules are asked in Maine. And so we pulled out those who resided in communities that were designated as heart safe in 2006 and 2007 and compared them to all the others. Just to give you an idea of the size that we're looking at, the N, because it varies by symptom, was about 1,000 for those that were in heart-safe communities in 2006 and 2007, and all the others, it was about 2,700. And so, the key findings, I'm going to go through heart attack first, and if I have time, I'll do stroke, but they are very similar. By and large, those in heart-safe communities that were designated in 06 and 07 had lower symptom recognition at baseline. We think that's because these were more of the rural areas that became heart safe first. And so they showed a greater improvement. They basically either caught up or surpassed those. And I think this slide, even though it's busy, shows that pretty well. The darker column is the heart safe, and I have it for each sign and symptom. This is sort of the way CDC wants you to do it. We also include the decoy. And as you can see, some symptoms like chest pain, recognition is pretty darn good. It was in the beginning. We're talking 90%, and then went up to 96. Some of them are lower, like pain in the neck or jaw or back, which is another very common symptom that was 49% in 2005, and it increased to 62%. So this is just a different way of viewing it for those who don't like charts. It's just the table, and everything in bold in 09 was a statistically significant increase from 05, and you'll see that the heart safe communities, all of them, did increase over that time period, but so did the rest of the state except for two of the symptoms. And again, we were actually encouraged by that and happy that that happened because of the In a Heartbeat initiative. And this one just shows that the increase was larger for the heart-safe community. So in some ways for us it was the dose response that we were looking for, because the heart-safe is a little bit more intensive, but there was a lot of education. And I mentioned In a Heartbeat, but the hospitals were doing work, the American Heart Association was doing work, so we were happy to see an improvement across the board. Another common thing that we do for signs and symptoms is they want you to be able to identify all of them correctly, plus the decoy, and that's really hard to do. So as you can see, the percentages are quite low. We've got 13% and then up to 15%. And in the HeartSafe communities, we did not see a statistically significant change. So we still have a ways to go there. Then another way that we looked at it is we also included 911, because, of course, not only do you have to recognize the symptom, but you have to call 911, and that's very important. And so for the most part, that's what we found for heart attack, and I think I still have time, so I'm going to go over the stroke findings, and this won't take as long since I've already gone through most of this information already. The only difference between heart attack that we found with stroke is that the improvement varied a little bit for the various symptoms. But again, as you can see, some symptoms are already pretty well recognized, you know, the trouble speaking, the weakness, but some of them were not as common. And again, HeartSafe communities had less symptom recognition in 2005 and more in 2009. They pretty much caught up again. So I'm just going to breeze through these. Again, you can see that the increase was larger in the HeartSafe communities than in the rest of the communities. And in this case, we did see, both for the HeartSafe communities and the others, statistically significant difference between 2005 and 2009. And when you added in 911, just the HeartSafe community saw a statistically significant increase. And so, I think I got through it all in time for a few questions, if there are any.